Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of you who have been around the church, and I don't just mean this church, but churches in general, you've probably occasionally run into some hard teachings in the Bible. Some teachings that you disagree with, some things that you wish Jesus hadn't said, some things that you just don't know how to deal with in this day and age. Some passages where it's really hard to say, this is the word of the Lord, thanks be to God, afterwards. And I'm guessing that today's gospel passage is one of those hard teachings, as also probably the whole book of Job. Now, you may even have a sermon already running around in your head about the gospel passage. You may remember what other preachers have said. And you may have some ideas of how you think this passage should be talked about. Because in this scripture passage, Jesus speaks up against divorce, even though it was clearly part of his society. And today, divorce is an inescapable part of our society. So what do we make about this gap between what Jesus says and what people do? How are we to live Christian lives with the reality of divorce? Well, I suppose one thing we could do is to ignore these teachings. And there's something that kids often do when they are playing together, and one child will say something, and the other child will put their hands over their ears and kind of pat them back and forth. And so all you hear is wah, 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 wah. So let's try that right now. I want you to put your hands up to your ear and just wah, 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 wah. Are you hearing anything that I'm saying? Probably not. I mean, you just kind of hear that nonsense. You know, it's an effective way of blotting out whatever you don't want to hear. And is that what we do when Jesus's hard teachings on divorce or anything else come up? Divorce is prevalent in our culture, and I know that some of you have been divorced, and some of you have children or other relatives who have been divorced, and so I'm guessing that this passage may be hard for you because it's pretty black and white. You probably still grieve some of the relationships that have been lost or broken as a result of divorce. Divorce is part of my family life as well. When I was in my 20s, my parents divorced after years of unhappiness. My husband, Larry, was married and divorced before we met. Apparently, still around 50% of marriages these days end in divorce, at least according to Google. Apparently, the fairy tale ending of happily ever after does not come easily and is not automatic with every marriage. So when Jesus is talking about divorce, it may sound like Jesus is condemning you or a loved one for having ended a marriage, even if your emotional health depended on it, or perhaps even if your physical survival depended on it. The reality is that even when we divorce, marriage is hard to disengage from. I had a friend who was divorced and happily remarried, and she was devastated when her former husband died. Marriage, for her, was hard to completely disengage from. My own parents remained emotionally and financially entangled in bad and good ways until after his death, which was around 20 years after their divorce. Divorce, as it turns out, doesn't solve all problems in a relationship. It doesn't even end the relationship completely, especially if there are children involved. I don't know how many of you have had occasion to fill out any kind of a form recently, any kind of paperwork, especially financial or legal, but chances are pretty good that if you have filled out a form, there will be a box on there in which you have to check off your marital status. And it'll say single, married. Sometimes it'll say both widowed and divorced. Sometimes it just says one or other. And this box that you're checking off is your legal status that may have some impact on your finances. It affects who is responsible for you or with you. And that box certainly reflects your emotional status as well. Whether you are footloose and fancy-free or committed or grieving or entangled or angry, that one little box encompasses it all. It's a complicated little box to check off, especially the one that says divorced. And I think Jesus was pointing to the complications of this reality. First of all, in this passage, he is addressing a kind of situation of a divorce in which a man may cast his wife off after years of marriage, depriving her of economic support. And Jesus says, don't do that. Don't divorce and trade your wife in for a trophy wife. That's an abuse of power. And Jesus points out that God takes marriage seriously. In fact, if you get married in a church, you are going to hear the language of covenant. You are going to be making the same kind of promise and commitment that God makes to humans throughout the Bible, unconditional and everlasting. And that's God's intention for us. God's intention is that people entering marriage should do so reverently, thoughtfully, faithfully. God made all creations, including humans, to live together in harmony. And divorce is not what God intended. And yet, we live in a broken world. We live with the consequences of sin and estrangement from God. We do not live in an ideal world, but we live in a world where our imperfections have sway. In this broken world, there are sometimes good reasons for divorce. Sometimes divorce is the healthy thing to do. There may be physical and emotional violence. There may be infidelity. There may even be the distance that comes from irreconcilable values and priorities. And so Jesus says to the Pharisees, he points out that Moses' decrees permitting divorce emerge from hardness of heart. This is what he calls it, hardness of heart, the realities of a broken world. Divorce, when seen only from the point of view of rights, especially a man's rights alone, that can be abusive of the rights and the well-being of women, particularly in a patriarchal society such as that one. And it's interesting that in this passage, Jesus kind of shifts the question away. People have asked him, well, what are all the reasons that we can get divorced? In other words, what's permissible? What can we get away with? That's what the Pharisees are really asking here. But for Jesus, the question is, what is faithful? What are all the reasons we should stay married? And where does the balance come out? In a broken world, divorce is sometimes necessary, but not a quickie divorce that disrespects the institution of marriage. And not a bitter fight that seeks to take the other one for everything they've got. Divorce acknowledges the pain of abuse or infidelity or hard-heartedness. And so Christians are not to treat others as opportunities for expedience or opportunities to get what you want out of someone else. God calls us to treat others with respect, not as objects. And so a person seeking to live a Christian life cannot judge persons by which box they have checked off, singled, married, widowed, divorced. We see the complexities and the pain involved in all life situations, and we do not write off divorce as immoral, but we recognize that sometimes it is necessary. And at the same time, people seeking to live a Christian life have a responsibility to take commitments seriously, maybe even more seriously than our culture does. Because marriage isn't just about the good times. In fact, most marriage vows include something along the lines of for better or for worse. As Job said, shall we receive the good at the hand of God and not receive the bad? Both may come from God, the good times and the hard times. Christians cannot just ignore Jesus' hard teachings, but we should not pretend that we're going to be able to live up to all of them all the time, especially without any help. We can listen to the hard teachings and take them in context. The context of Jesus' whole ministry, a ministry of healing and compassion. A ministry in which he reached out to people stigmatized by the society of his times. A ministry in which he included everyone at his table. And so we listen to the hard teachings in this context, the context of love, and we realize that we too are given the grace to receive God's love, and that we too are called to extend God's love and mercy to others. We too, even we, are included at Jesus' table. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.